Near my, oh, there we go. I wasn't, all right, start over. It's Thursday, September 4th, 2025. This is the Harbor Advisory Board meeting. It's 5:30 p.m. We're here in the Vets Hall. All right, with that, we'll establish a quorum and call to order. I'll start over here on my right. Member Witowski?
Present.
Branson?
Here.
Member O'Brien?
Present.
Member Doherty? Cloudy?
Here.
Sorry. Member Myers present. Member Green is not present today. So with that, we'll establish a quorum. That next on the agenda. Oh, no. Almost has a Pledge of Allegiance. All right, with that, we will jump to the board member announcements. I'll start on my right again with Member Witowski.
No announcements from me.
Member Henson?
Okay, so one of the things that's happening very soon on September 10th is the chamber is having a mixer for La Katrina. La Katrina is holding a mixer at 5:30 September 10th. They have amazing food, yummy bebidas, and everything's free. So if you go on Facebook and look at the chamber, you can sign in and register. They do like to get as many people to know that they're coming, but that would be a great thing to attend and to support local business. I did just attend the WOMPAC meeting, and I'm not going to speak on that. Jean Dowdy will talk about that, but I wanted to mention that if you want to be represented and be part of their focus groups and their outreach, you can show up to the meetings. They're at 3 o'clock the first Thursday, so right before this at the Vets Hall. Or you can also contact Erlyn or Susanna at the planning department to be part of the outreach. And at the very least, you can sign up on morrobay.gov for the email notifications for WOMPAC. So if you want to be a part of that, connect that way.
All right. Thank you, Member Hansen. Member O'Brien?
Yeah, thank you very much, Gal. I happen to be walking around down the waterfront today, and I got to watch Bill Blue unload some fish. And I just want to let the people know that these fish are available locally, and it was just an amazing, beautiful load of fish. Every single one was huge. No, these are vermilions and blackcod. They were exceptional. And so I just wanted to let people know these are available, and they're looking pretty good. Thank you.
Thank you, Member O'Brien. Howdy.
Yeah, just a couple first things there. On the waterfront, this time of year, we're starting to see lots of eelgrass break up and come through, so probably more so than we've seen in quite a few years. And also, at this time of year, it's time for people to start thinking about securing their boats there. On the moorings themselves, it's the boat owner's responsibility from the mooring ball up to the boat there to tie it and secure it. A couple of months ago, we inspected a mooring, and 2 years ago, they had chain going from the ball up to the boat, and it was down to 3/8 of an inch. Informed the boat owner that you need to replace that. This time when we inspected it, if you take your forefinger and thumb together and press them as hard as you can press them together, that chain was down to less than a 16. This is a 40-foot nice sailboat. It didn't take us anything just to break this chain apart. So I put a new safety line on there, but It's time to secure your boats now when it's nice and easy. On the waterfront master plan, We had run through that. June 5th, we had our first meeting. It consists of 8 board members. We're assisted by staff and consultants. On June 5th, we had what we call the scope of work, and we went over the process of how we're going to be doing this. On June 10th, we had our first kind of the parameters of where we're going to be talking about, mostly along the Embarcadero, mostly on the west side. We're looking at some of the issues on the north end of the Embarcadero, and maybe some on the east end. What we're not looking at is things on the water side, and I'm very disappointed on that. And then on August 8th, there was a walkthrough on the Embarcadero. I was unable to attend that, but Charisse is there, and how that went. I understand it worked really well. I was hoping there'd be a tour from the water side, but logistically wise, that didn't happen. On August 18th and 19th, back on the 10th, we needed to get more information for more focus groups on the waterfront master plan. So we created 4 new groups of people that are interested in the process. They consisted of environmental groups, business groups, community groups, and harbor-related groups. And if you want to find out more about that, you can go online, look up the city website, the Waterfront Master Plan, and they'll give you the last staff report. Earlier, we had a meeting this afternoon, and we talked about some of the issues that we came up with. We talked about also the Coleman Beach project is going to be divided into 2 phases now. We're going to replace the bathrooms with new ADA bathrooms and parking, and then there will be some further discussion on the development of the rest of the park there. So that's where we're at right now. We're continuing on. I think the next meeting is going to be October 2nd. Hope we see you there.
All right. Thank you, Member Dowdy. I still want with that, I'll do a couple announcements myself. A couple events coming up on this Saturday, the 20th. There's a cleanup slow, Eco Slow sponsors it. And then there's for individual locations. There are additional sponsors. So the Friends of the Morro Bay and the Morro Bay Harbor Department have the Bayshore Bluffs Park. We've done for the last several years. The park itself is usually pretty clean. Public Works does a great job on that. But stuff along the bottom of the stairs typically needs some cleanup. General trash, and it's pretty physical, take humping stuff up and down the stairs. Very worthwhile. I participated the last couple years. For folks that sign up, there will be some free t-shirts going along, and if you have money to the Friends of the Morro Bay Harbor Department, they'll be up. That's that. A couple others, mostly around the Maritime Museum. They have a couple upcoming events the following weekend. Fundraiser will be at the Morro Bay Yacht Club. There'll be dinner, music. It is, again, it's a fundraiser, so it's about $125 ahead, but it's Maritime Museum. Lastly, again, another Maritime Museum. They have the Family Fun Day. That's coming October 11th. And again, that's just community focused at the Maritime Museum itself. Kind of fun to, again, family oriented. That's it for mine with that. Questions or announcements? On to the next. We don't have any presentations this time, but we will public comment if there's anybody here in the audience that would like to make a comment.
Hello. I had a suggestion that you might want to think about for a subcommittee, or actually 2, or maybe it could be 1. I don't know. Asked or suggested by someone that Morro Bay had, well, since revenue enhancement is one of our goals, someone suggested that we do a wave machine in Morro Bay, and with what's going on with the old sewer plant, and there's also the Vistra property, and you know, I just thought that might be something to look into, and also floating pickleball courts. So I just thought you might want to, I know you guys are always looking for for stuff to work on, and I think those potentially could be revenue enhancement endeavors. So toss that around.
All right, thank you very much. Topics for the Vitality Director falls under that. Any other comments here in the audience? Nope. EP, do we have anybody with their hands up?
Sorry, there are no raised hands in the queue.
All right, thank you. That will go ahead and close public comment. That will move on to the consent agenda. If there's any poll from the consent agenda. No? Do I have a motion to... I'll make a motion to approve the consent. Second?
I'll second.
All right, thank all in favor. Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Passes.
Aye.
5-0. Got all that, Lori? All right. With that, we'll move on to the first business item. That's item 7A. That's the front about the license agreement for the non-bricks and mortar.
Jeremiah.
Or Jeremiah.
Well, Jeremiah and I are on that, and we did, I'll let you know about it in a second. We did a lot of research looking at different areas that have different license agreements, such as Santa Barbara, San Francisco, Monterey, quite a few that we looked at, and the ones that were the most similar with their landscape and what they had available and different licenses that they had on, maybe not necessarily tidelands, but right on the waterfront, we reviewed those. And then we went out and did outreach to different community members, business owners that would be affected or want to partake in the license agreement, and got everybody's input. And from that, we kind of culminated it into a template for a license application based on the current one that is used for all license applications in Morro Bay, but with some additions to things that were vital importance for Tidelands property, because all of the Tidelands businesses have leases with the city of Morro Bay, which have particular guidelines that other businesses within Morro Bay do not have. So in order to make it fair, if there's going to be a sidewalk vendor that's right next to a ground lease that has all of the things in their ground lease, then it should be fair for both parties. And so with that, we put together the license application. At this point, we are just going to discuss and see if there's anything that really stands out or things that need to be added, and then make a suggestion. I think the first thing is to request that if we like how we edit it by the end of this, then have the city attorney look at it and get back to us and see if there's anything that's in here that's just not going to happen. And then maybe we can look at that after and then have a final draft that we could submit to the city council in order for them to view it, edit it, and hopefully approve a final copy. Jeremiah, you want to add?
This was completely, the most part, it was completely done by Cherise. This is somewhat out of my wheelhouse, as they say. She did a masterful job and put it, it was excellent. It was a million times better than I could have done. So good job, Cherise, and thank you very much.
Is there any discussion or questions?
Yeah, I have a question. Is this just doing on the sidewalks of Morro Bay, of the Embarcadero?
So perhaps what we should do is I should create like a Q&A kind of situation, because there are things that I included on here that I wanted everybody to read. And then from that, we could decide if it is good the way that it is or if there's any kind of things that we want to change. So far, with your question, I would assume that there's some things in here that are going to be a big one. So in answer to your question, the big one that I really wanted to get feedback is the location. And so I don't know if you can throw those up on the screen, but I think that that's something that that we can discuss as a group tonight. And so they are on the map of the agenda item with stars next to it, which if we chose the stars, the locations that we picked based on conversations with others and viable places for a business to do well, a sidewalk vendor to do well, then we could move forward with that or move them, depending on what you ask. So that I think is gonna be the number one question that I'd like to see out tonight, because, and also the number, how many of these license agreements are going to be allowed within a year? And so another thing that I can bring up is how this is different from the regular license application. And a big one is that there's an annual fee, and then there's a percentage fee.
I guess that's answered my second question. My first question is, I'd be opposed to anything on the Rock parking lot area.
Yes, it's the first map that's on the agenda. There are four locations. Do you want me to
pass? I've seen it, yes.
Got it, okay.
Yeah, my next question was, are they going to pay a percentage of the gross? And I've seen it. Percentage of the gross or percentage of the income? You are going to address that later?
A percentage of the gross. Because it should be, it's if you want to think about it, because I was on the lease policy, one of the differences of percentage-wise was the difference between if it was a ground lease or a building lease. So if it's owned by the city and they and the improvements that are on that property, they're at a double percentage. So if it's retail, it's 5%. So if it's a building lease, such as like the only building lease that we have in Morro Bay now is the old aquarium. And so therefore they have a higher percentage because that's what the policy is. If you didn't build the building, then you pay in rent percentage-wise for that building. So they don't pay for the sidewalk.
Yeah, I understand that. I just want to make sure that it's based on equitable and people who have leases on the Embarcadero.
Right, as much as possible. I still think it's a sweet deal, but anyway. So yeah, it's seven. I looked at different places and what the cost was for sidewalk vending. I also looked at vendors on like festivals and weekends, because this is when sidewalk vendors are most likely to be utilizing the lease space is on weekends. And so $700 a month is really low considering what some of the festival vendors pay for a little 10 by 10 space. So it's still, you know, we could talk about that. Is it too low? Is it too high? One of the ways to find out if it's too low or too high is to see how many applications, you know, you get, because it's all about the business performa for the company that wants to fill out the application and do the business at that property. So.
Any more questions? I have a couple. There's a variety of fees. There's some one-time fees, rent, a percent. All of that, would all that go to Harbor? My mic's not on. Would that all go to the Harbor Department, or would some of that get federal fund?
That's what I would recommend, that the Harbor Advisory Board advise the City Council to agree to.
I guess maybe the initial registration fees might be up for grabs, but the percent rent and the $700 a month would definitely go to the...
No, because currently, if you do look at it, the model that we have right now with city with Tidelands leases is that there is a business license that they pay the City of Morro Bay, but there's also a subtenant application that they pay. So that is included in that. So it's still along the same lines as what the leaseholders have on the ground leases right now.
Did you looked at other locales? I'm assuming it's, you know, the classic is sort of the, you know, the rock, you know, surf types of things. Did you see any other types of businesses beyond that that potential customers?
Well, first you have to create the location and the possibility for a location, and then the business owner with the idea is the one who needs to come forth and go like, hey, I mean, I would not have thought that, you know, there would be a big barrel sauna, yeah. But it works, and it's cool. And so, yay for those innovative businesses. But if they're going to run it, and they're going to believe in it, and they're going to look at their business model as viable, then if they know that it's available, and there's already a format for it, then they could dream and innovate and find something. I do know that during our outreach, the majority of leaseholders who were a part of it, even subtenants who were a part of it, all agreed that activities, you know, like the lease with Tidelands Trust, it says no compete. And we do our best, you know, but there are going to be some situations, you know, like in food truck situations. That's another thing that we need to discuss. Are these going to be open to food vendors? Because I did not specify that in there. So, but if they were going, if we did allow food vendors, they take a priority with other businesses that are either Tidelands brick and mortar or Morro Bay brick and mortar before it would be a complete outside business that did food trucks, so, or anything really. So if you look at, there's certain examples of surf shops that we have here in Morro Bay. If two board rental places applied for this, one of them was a brick and mortar in Morro Bay and one of them was not a brick and mortar, then they would have priority. So that's listed in there.
Okay, thank you. And then any revenue estimates, sort of like best case? I mean, obviously the $700 a month percent revenue, you guys gonna make 10 grand a day or a couple grand a day, any? I guess I'm just looking, is, you know, beyond just the rent, is there, you know, what's sort of the upside? $700, I don't know, $7,000, $8,000 times, you know, 7 or 8 spots. It's a bit of money, but it's also a lot of overhead as well.
Yeah, I mean, we want to make it something that makes money for the harbor department, and it's a flat $700 for the month, and then on top of that, a percentage of gross. So if they do well, it goes to the harbor. As far as administrative, after, over and above the initiation of it, the one thing that it would require is auditing the sales. And so I built that in there that they would do it on a quarterly basis because that's how all businesses work. They turn in their sales tax quarterly. And so it's extremely easy for them to show the locations because that's what the form requests, is where was the location of the service, how much did you make to that. So what they submit to the United States government is what they're going to submit to the Harbor Department.
And that's similar to what the Embarcadero leaseholders are doing.
Not
quarterly, but...
They do it annually.
Yeah.
And to me, I've always thought that I advocated for quarterly.
Slightly different discussion. And then one last question here. I assume the red stars are the locations.
Right. Pump. And so, yes.
There's one kind of stray one there.
Oh, really? Is there a stray one? I tried to make sure that you guys were paying attention. Does anybody find the stray location? Yes. There is one on the sand spit. So what I'm trying to say is that these locations are not concrete. And if anybody wants to relocate or tell me how many locations they would advise, so when you talk about locations, that will be how many permits are allowed for the year. So if there's seven locations, then there's seven available permits for the year.
So total, not counting the
how many locations do we want? Or do we want to advise?
I do have another comment. The waterfront leasers right now, the brick and mortar people, they have to pay, they have to provide a public restroom, they have to provide parking, maybe public benefit. I just want to make sure that everybody's on the same page here. Seems to me like they're getting a free use of the Embarcadero, even though it's $700, and they're not paying for some of these entities that the rest of the leaseholders have to pay.
So in answer to that, I know that when we talked to different leaseholders, they were actually very interested in being one of these applicants. There's been situations where they wanted to sell cotton candy outside of their shop during special events. They couldn't. They wanted to, they wanted to spend one particular weekend where they kind of took their foods, and they had a food truck, and they wanted to go down to where a lot of the people were and then kind of give them a taste of what their restaurant does, and so it kind of ties them in. Then there's like the boarding businesses. There we don't have a surfboard place on the Tidelands, but there were ones that were on the other side that they wanted to be right there where the where everybody would want to rent a board. So the idea is that you would prioritize activities that are like or businesses that are 100% non-compete with Tidelands, and it's up to the Harbor Department to decide which applicants get approved. And then there's always a priority given to the actual leaseholders, priority to Tidelands leaseholders, and then a second priority for local Morro Bay businesses. So doesn't mean that everybody who applies is going to get it. It means that they still need to meet the criteria of non-compete, because really it's the Harbor Department's decision to accept the applicant. And if they're going to be stealing from the mouths of the other businesses that are making millions compared to thousands, then they need to look at that when they accept the application.
I understand your position. My position is that I hate to see the Rock become commercialized.
In other words, the four spots that they have currently listed is parking lot would be.
It kind of depends too on how it's done, and I understand completely what you mean, Gene. But if we're talking about a soda or a glass or a water and a hot dog, you know, that's kind of what I foresaw. I know it can morph into something other than that probably, but that's what I kind of foresaw.
Well, I'll counter back. For how many years that you see people drive down to the Rock, park and look at it, and then drive away, as opposed to seeing the taco stand down there and the trash and the people leaving their stuff there. I just came from the Rock just a few minutes ago, where a truck pulled up, they opened the car doors up, dozens of people got out, they walked around, they looked at it, and they had their own sodas and things like that, and they got in the truck and drove back. I just hate to see it become a tacos down there, or it become commercialized. The Rock is pretty much pristine. And I just assume.
All right, thank you. Other comments?
Yeah, two questions I have. One is, who's deciding what's not? Who's deciding which applications are non-competing or which ones actually get approved for specific locations?
We could add that into and put in a request for the advisory board to advise on that. But right now, the Harbor Department is the one that accepts applicants, and maybe Chris or Lori can even go into the details of what it was like to sign the lease license agreement with the sauna people. Sauna, I shouldn't call them sauna people. What is their name? What's the business name?
California Sauna Club.
So the process of them getting that?
Oh, so they had come with a proposal for it, and as a temporary measure, we did a pilot program with the lease measure, and we negotiated a price and days, time, and location, and we issued it for a period of 1 year to assess whether it would work or not. And this was kind of a setup for this whole process of trying to really come up with a formal way of people getting these permits who had wanted them. And so, I really appreciate what you've done here. I think, just working from it with that Port San Luis, I think yours is more sort of on the mobile vendor side, and you did touch on a bit of the surfboards side of it, which is how we were. Those types of vendors are the ones that we were normally dealing with at Port San Luis, not so much food trucks and gift stands. And so there's a whole variety of non-brick and mortar services you can have. You can have the food trucks, you can have the stalls. The ones that we were more used to were boat charters that didn't have an actual dock. They would use a public dock and go out for fishing. We had surf schools. We had rental, like surfboard rentals and wetsuit rentals. And so I think what you have here is a good start. I think you can narrow it down, figure out which areas you'd even want to consider food, if any. And I think that there can be some discussion on which sites you would like to even consider. And just because there's four stars over by the rock, that doesn't necessarily mean that we have to have four businesses out there. But if there's a vendor, maybe they prefer one spot over another. We have that exact same issue with the sauna. We asked them to propose a few different options that would work for them, and then we chose the one that we thought would be the less burden and work well for them, where there would still be parking in front of their site. We weren't taking away any parking, but it would still meet their needs. And so I don't think at this point you really have to get into too many specifics, but I think if you just give your general each board member, if they give their general likes and dislikes, we can use your template and incorporate it into a bigger lease RFP, if that makes sense.
I have a question for what happens if the space that you've allotted them, that there's people parked there?
So we have told them that they have no guarantee of use of that space. It's public space. So if they were to show up and it was already occupied, then they would have to go to one of the other locations that we had previously discussed. And I believe there's...
Okay, so that's... So another way that it could be worded is that there's four possible locations, but maybe only one can be utilized, or two, depending on what the group decides to advise, right?
Yeah. Okay.
And we could say no food trucks, it's what we would want to advise.
A couple of comments I had, because I remember the camping, RV camping, was popular for the people that stayed there, but there was a tremendous amount of pushback from the community. I think it lasted for, so I'm worried about the community feedback of seeing that. I share Gene's piece. I'd like to just strike the rock. If this is popular, it takes off, maybe that'd be something to add year two, year three, but at least that is something I'd like to strike. I would hate to see four food trucks out there in a mountain of trash on, Sunday. If they want to put one into Tidelands parking lot, that's fine. The rest of the spots look reasonable. That nice flow. The lease agreements, I read it. There's a lot of really good thought that went into that to make it equitable. There is the bathrooms piece, but it is spendy if $700 and 10% is the right dollar amount, and get, you know, maybe 50 grand a year for the harbor department out of implementing it. I think it might. That's all I have.
It seems like there's at least two board members who rock issue. So does somebody want to make a motion on that?
No, I still have some more questions, and then I was going to do tallies for things, because there's things that, you know, I'm showing all the different options and all the different things that could actually happen. And so then as individual people, we're going to tally how many people want no food truck, because that's a trigger. And then I want to know if you agree with the amount per month. And then I wanted to know the percentage gross, if that's a reasonable amount or should be raised or raised or hired. I'm just going to go that way out. and then the locations. So just like they did, they had a couple alternate locations. Maybe if we can agree on some spaces, that would be, and the number of permits. So number of permits, I think, would help get us a motion to move forward.
Like to make sure we have public comment and then tallies afterwards.
Right, okay, and then Doc. I did not think about that, and so that's something that would go under this.
You could definitely include that, but that one is not as specific for location. So I think where you really want to figure out, like, for mobile vendors is the one where you're really would want to restrict locations. If somebody came and proposed that they wanted to use a dock, they could just propose that. We don't have to necessarily identify which docks are available. But I think if you are to put out an RFP that includes mobile vending, you want to be very specific on where they're exactly you're allowing them to do it, because you don't want to get a bunch of proposals for people putting up, you know, a bunch of carts on the Embarcadero when that's not what you intended.
Right. So we can scratch Doc, because you guys can work within the parameters that you already have established. Okay.
Does that then become like different zones for different types of vendors that were permitted? Sorry. Does that just become different zones for different types of vendors instead of individual locations that we're permitting?
I'm unsure if I understand the question.
So like, we mentioned no food vendors by the rock would be one thing, but I feel like if you were renting surfboards, that's probably the number one spot you would want to be able to come to. Is there some way that we could structure this that it wouldn't permit food vendors there, but might prevent or permit recreational vendors, something like that?
That is a good point. I mean, you can have general areas like, you know, Morro Bay Beach, you know, as being an area where you could do wetsuit, surfboard, kayak rentals, and areas where you don't have it. But you don't, I guess, where you're being very specific about, you know, this point right here, that would be more of where you would have more scrutiny as far as vendor placement.
You just wouldn't need to offer it to them. So if a food vendor came up and said, I want to go by the rock, well, you don't get to pick where you're going, you know. Not going by the rock, you're going down somewhere else. So, I mean, it would be up to us. I don't think it needs to be any more complicated than that.
Yeah, okay. I agree.
To help navigate this or to streamline it, so could we put, there's three different types of possible mobile vendors, if I think I got them all, food, retail.
Before we get into the minutia, I'd like to do public comment and get that out of the way, and then we All right.
Okay.
I think that's going to go pretty quick, so I just want to
close
that out. Because what I hate to do is go through all that and then get some public comment, and that might impact our discussion. You're okay with that?
Yes, yes, yes.
Okay. I'll go ahead and open up the public comment. Is there anybody here in the audience that'd like to comment on this? Thank you. AGP, is there any hands up?
No raised hands in the queue.
All right. Bring it back to the advisory board. Go ahead.
Okay. So I see that we have food, retail, and activities. Would be like the three subcategories of possible mobile vendors.
And Munson, was that
that same
consistent with your experience?
Yeah, in a broad stroke, yeah, activities can cover a lot. I mean, yeah.
Thank you.
Okay, so I think that. You have a question?
I was just going to say, can't we also structure this for a shorter time period and adjust as needed instead of a full year right away? If something, some other activity that we, or some other category that we didn't think of. Yeah.
Other? Okay.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Mermaid photos. Other. Got it. All right. So just going down the line, how many are not in favor of food trucks on any tidelands spaces, partial food trucks, not at the Rock? And anyway, so what's the best way to do this? Is there anybody who believes that on these three locations that there should be no food whatsoever? So all tidelands.
I support no food trucks on anywhere on the Embarcadero.
Okay. And is there anybody else who feels that way as well?
I mean that's just stealing from all the restaurants there.
1, 2, I will say.
And they're the ones that generate the most impact for the infrastructure.
Right.
Bathrooms,
okay.
Trash.
So I am also saying no to food trucks on tidelands is my individual thing. And so hearing from the other two.
I would make the recommendation of no new business as far as, not new business, but unique business. I don't know. Folks who are not existing leaseholders to be able to do that, because you did say that there was some interest from existing leaseholders to apply for a permit to be able to sell outside of the establishments, right?
Right. Okay. So let's get the food one out of the way. So you're saying no food? Oh, you're saying that
if you're an existing
possibly
leaseholder,
food if it was a brick and mortar Tidelands leaseholder.
Yes.
What do we say to that?
My statement was that no food trucks. Now, if you want to sell cotton candy out in front of your shop there on a little stand, I don't have an issue with that. I just assume no new food trucks along the Embarcadero. You're going to take up parking and they're competing. So.
Mark does have a, you could call it a food truck, down at his shop. He sells smoked chickens and smoked meats down by the North Deep area.
Would you consider that a food truck, taking up parking space?
I'm gonna have to answer that yes, because somebody else who would want to do that would be charged accordingly, along the rules and regulations we're making. So I'm glad Mark's got that. That's great. I don't want to interfere with him at all.
Neither do I. No. I hate to see a taco wagon down there on June Street or Anchor Street or something like that. Silence Dock. So.
Sticky wicket. Okay.
Vice Chair Hansen, I have a question.
Yes.
Clarification purposes. Are you gathering this information from your from the HIAB members? You're going to take a committee, discuss our new proposal for next?
Correct.
Or are you making a motion now involving the ad hoc committee?
No, what I said at the beginning is that if we can come to some conclusion within a reasonable amount of time, maybe I didn't say that part, but if we do come to some edited version of this, that we ask that the city attorney look at it. And then we see what's possible, and then we give a final draft that we advise the city council to accept. Or, you know, just send it to them, and then they can do with it whatever they want.
Ad hoc committee is going to remain, and you're going to vote on.
Okay, that sounds good. And then, that's what I'm wanting to get feedback from the entire board to see what it is that needs to be edited in there. And if there's enough edits that we can't clearly do this with a motion, then yeah, we'll.
Or
we'll
you
take
can
it back.
Receive and file and take them.
Right. Yeah. But
all right. Thank you.
Thanks, Lori.
Okay. So I think we're almost through the food truck thing, trying to get a consensus, which is we have some of us up here that a majority of us are saying that no food trucks on Tidelands, but if they're a Tidelands brick and mortar, we are amenable possibly to some locations near their building.
It would be exceptionally hard to codify, but like I say, Mark's, Giovanni's, you know, mobile barbecue that he parks in front of his business, things along those lines would be, I would have to be case by case basis. I don't think Mark applied for that. It's just an extension of his business as far as I know.
I believe Mark's food truck is on a lease site, not the public street.
And so I will take this back, Jeremiah, and I will take this back. But what we were told from other master leaseholders is when they tried to do that, they were penalized and told that they couldn't. So what hopefully this will create is a policy where if somebody does it, then the other person can do it too, because it's memorialized in a policy that the city has. Right now, what we might be seeing, and I don't want to open that can of worms for people who are doing well, but some are able to do it and some are not able to do it. And so if we can, we'll take that back and we'll work more on that. But I think that we can end the food truck concept to knowing that Jeremiah and I are going to take it back and start talking about what it is possible for master leaseholder or not master, just leaseholders on Tidelands property. What is their policy about being able to sell on their physical site or near their site? So I'll go on. We'll move forward with that. And then the number. So if we're just talking about retail activity and other types of sidewalk vendors, can I get some input on the amount that is listed in here? Right now it's listed as $700 a month with a 10% on gross. Does anybody feel that is too high or too low?
How did you get to 700?
Because I looked at different festivals and the charge that they would, the fees that they would charge for, say, four weekend days or just a one day, and then I computed it to something that's a little bit less expensive than some of those based on the fact that they have a long-term lease, whereas the other ones are only like 2-day kind of lease. So it was just trying to extract from other places what they would charge for like a festival weekend.
Yeah, I mean, the back of the napkin math seems to be reasonable.
All right. And then we talked about it before. The percentage is the building percentage of the gross. And it's on top of that. It doesn't have the same parameters as ground leases, which are a base. And once you get over the base with the percentage, then you pay a percent. It's not that.
Yeah, I like the simplification of that. Just straight 10%.
Okay. So we're check. Okay. And then the locations. Right now, if you guys want us to go back, since we're going to look at different things, is there any on these maps that you're like absolutely no, or any questions about the locations that were picked? Obviously, I'm going to ticker off the Spit one. Easter egg, as I said.
Yeah, I'm still like to leave the Rock pristine, at least in the short term, for any.
Okay, so we have...
My personal opinion. You get into the Indians.
Okay, so just getting your other feedback on the other location. So you're saying no Rock. There is a Star at Coleman Park, so we do have an actual vendor in place, but they're there for a year. So are you agreed that that's an okay place? Because they'll want to know that. Okay, and then any of the other locations off limits to you? Or any additions?
I do have a concern over the North Star at Tidelands Park.
The one that's in the parking lot?
Yeah, it's really tight parking there. Well used, it's pretty run down.
All right. And so, Gene, I have you as zero on the Rock, and then X out the parking lot at Tidelands. Any of the other ones that are listed, the one at Coleman Park or any of the other two that are at the Tidelands area? You're good with those? Okay. Jeremiah, what about you?
Yes. Good.
All good? All of them are good?
Except for the one in the parking lot.
Except for the one.
The north one that Gene mentioned, yeah.
Okay, and how you feel about the Rock?
I'm going to go with Cal and Gene on the Rock.
Okay, all right. Sounds good. Okay. What do you think? Zero
good. No, it sounds good.
Consensus.
Okay. Man. So zero anywhere. Okay. And then I will go with...
I do have one more location question just to make it a little more complicated.
Okay. All right.
I know this is Tidelands area. There are areas north of Morro Creek in front of the front of the RV park and the old power plant. Would any of those be included? And if they were, would that revenue go to the harbor department? If you wonder about wetsuits in the old sand parking lot north of the creek.
If it was in the Tidelands on the beach side, like if they did a surf school, then my assumption would be it would go to the Harbor Fund, and those would be allowable under the Harbor Department's lease program or license program.
And would that also include the parking lot on the south side of the creek?
I'd have to check, but I think the strip of Tidelands there is pretty narrow, because I was interested in that area.
Yeah, because they got that one area all fenced off where the Surrey parking used to be. I mean, I think those would be other places, especially for the rental business, and you know, because you're going to end up having to administer it if it's that one off. So
yeah, we can get a better map of the Tidelands to make it well known where we can and cannot.
Okay.
I think, for example, the Star by the Maritime Museum might actually be out of Tidelands.
It is, but that triangle parking lot, don't you guys
we do
have the auspices over that?
I just didn't know if we would be able to extend the license program over there.
Okay.
But that's something we could ask the legal counsel as well.
Okay. So are you suggesting a possible A Beach parking lot?
I would like to see if there's areas outside of the Tidelands proper that we could include in this.
Okay.
Appropriate. And again, I'm thinking north
North of the creek.
North of the creek, the triangle parking lot, obvious.
Okay, so we'll look into that too. So triangle and then creek, if that's possible. Okay, and then, because this is a pilot program, the number of permits per year that we would advise.
I guess I'm going to look into the business office. What would be a reasonable number of permits? I'm thinking less than 10, 5. We've got one.
You have one already, and they want to renew it because it's a pilot program. And so things like those are, you can advise that it wasn't a success, and we do not want to, or we want to advise that we do not renew.
I'd like to keep the number small because if we do have to roll it back, it's less painful.
Right.
Five-ish, 5, 10, I can't see any.
I think it depends on the activity, where it's at. Obviously, it would be another program we're going to add to staff as well. Also, it's a revenue generator.
Yeah, but if I have to hire another full-time employee, so 50 grand a year isn't going to cut it.
Figure that out.
I think 10 is, personally, I think it's way too many.
Issue 6 for the first few months and see how it's going from that point. Reassess in 2 or 3 months. The number has to go higher or lower.
Okay.
Maybe cap it at 5.
Sure.
All right. So I took those suggestions and I think we're between 0 and 5. So, all right.
Question with the existing business staff having 5 new leases to manage, would that wouldn't be incremental? Push you over the edge?
No. we can take care of that.
Okay.
Okay. And so thank you for everybody's input and for public comments input. You can always come down and do your own public comment if you want to include your interest in this, because what I'm going to do and Jeremiah, we're going to go and sit down and we're going to talk about all of the things that we discussed as a group. And I think one of the other additions that I'd like to put into here is the Harbor Advisory Board request that the people who do that they get, because we can't look at every application, or do we want to say that we would like to be the ones to approve these, advised to approve these applications? Or do we want to set some parameters as far as what is our preference? So I think that's what we could do, is we can put in a preference of people that would be more likely to be accepted for the application. That sound?
Are you asking the Harbor Advisory Board to make the determination or city staff?
Right now, I think I think that we're trying to put in a policy where the staff has guidelines so they can hand it back to somebody who is interested that has already given our input, and then staff would make that decision. If you want to advise that no, you know, because like what happened was that the current sidewalk vendor is in there and we didn't have any input in it. This is our ability to have input beforehand and to help and advise the staff so they know that they're already working on what it is that we've advised or, you know, thought about.
That's our job.
Yeah. So, okay, so we'll go back and edit and make some of these changes before back.
Question, we'll probably get another version of this before the...
Yeah, I'm quick, man. There is one thing that I wanted to add at the very end, is that when I was doing all this research, I did find some deficits in our current license agreement. And so at the end of all of it, I would like to make some suggestions that the actual license agreement have some changes that I noticed in other towns that I think were really helpful in guidelines for other sidewalk vendors. Because right now we do have quite a few sidewalk vendors, and there should be more parameters that make it friendly to all businesses, and then make our city clean And anyway, serves it a little better. So one of these days, maybe I can sit with one of the council members and talk about that.
All right, thank you. This is receive and file, correct? So there's no motion. All right. With that, we'll wrap up business item 7A. Next one on the agenda is 7B. It's pretty easy because some scheduling conflicts between myself and the other member. We haven't been able to spend a lot of time on it, although we did meet, Sean and I did meet back now. Basically, just wanted to clarify that this is like the previous business item. This isn't something we're handing off. It's not a. It's more of a business process. So for scheduling events, we'll just come up with some guidelines, some calendars to check. You know, some strategies of how to group things. We hope to have a little more formal update when we get together in October. Once our schedules mesh a little bit better. That's pretty much it for that one. Pretty short. I guess any public comment on item 7B? Anybody in the with their hands up on the phone, AGP?
There are no raised hands in the queue.
All right. That will close public comment and move on to item 8, which is future agenda items. Somebody in public comment mentioned about some other potential businesses. We have several things on here. Is there anything else that we'd like to see on the agenda from when we get together in October? We're good? I think that's the end of the agenda, Lori. I think we're good. Go ahead and close the meeting. Click your button, right, Lori? All right, thank you.
Thank you.
Take the gavel.
Oh, yeah. It doesn't have a nice ring to it.